Ours will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Season 7, Episode 6 of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And today we are going to be talking again about old school bodybuilding. And our guest is part two of our interview with Craig Munson. If you heard our show last week, Craig was a real mass monster who trained in the Venice Beach, California scene in the early 80s. And everybody who's seen him remembered who Craig was because he was a monster. He was 23-inch arm, 6'2", 270 pounds. He didn't compete that much and never became a pro bodybuilder, but he definitely was a legend in the Muscle Beach scene. So we talked to Craig last week, and we got his story about how he spent some time in San Quentin prison. And then when he got out, he was training over at Bill Pearl's gym, and then he went over to Gold's Gym in Venice Beach, California. And he also trained at Venice Beach on Muscle Beach every Sunday. So on this part of the interview, in part two, today we're going to talk to Craig about when he actually did start competing. He started competing in California, and then he became friends with John Brown, and John Brown brought him over to Europe, and he competed in the Mr. World over there. So he's got some great stories to tell us about that, as well as meeting Sergio Oliva and Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right, I do want to mention we are brought to you by our sponsor, Redcon One. At Redcon One, everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody wants to be the best. And at Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. Their premier clinically dosed pre-workout, Total War, is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then you can fuel your body after those workouts with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carb sources coming from sweet potatoes and oats, and it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And you can also enter the discount code LEGENDS and you will get a 15% discount off your order. We're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. I'm talking no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. You may have heard of the award-winning fat burner Vintage Burn, the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, which is the world's first two-stage pre-workout. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They're the brand I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. And they're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, the 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion, and the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic champion. They also sponsor 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Banut and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 and you will receive 12% off your order at oldschoollabs.com, or you can also purchase their supplements at amazon.com. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. All right, I hope everybody had a good week this week. I had a really busy weekend. The Tampa Pro was in town right here in Tampa, Florida. It used to be right down the street from me where I live at the Hyatt, but they moved it downtown this year. So it was at the Marriott Waterside Hotel in downtown. Tim Gardner has been promoting the show. Don't know exactly how many years. I think this was the 11th or 12th year, but he had a record number of competitors in the pro divisions. He had a total of 290 pros, which set the record in the IFBB. There's never been an IFBB event that had 290 pros. So congratulations to Tim Gardner. What a great job he's doing, not only promoting shows in Florida with the Tampa Pro, but he's promoting shows all over the country and all over the world. He is super, super busy guy, probably the biggest promoter in the bodybuilding field right now. What an extraordinary job. He has a great team of people that help him out, and they do a fantastic job. What an extraordinary event. So I got to go out there all weekend. I was doing the wrap-up coverage yesterday with Chris Aceto for RX Muscle. So I got to see Chris, so that was good. I gave him a copy of my book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, because I mentioned Chris several times in that book, so I wanted to give him a copy. And I got to see Jose Raymond on Thursday, because Jose flew in on Thursday, and then he flew out on Friday night. He had a couple of guys in the 212 division, in the pro 212 division. Lloyd Dollar, I believe, was his athlete. And I think he had a couple more people that he was helping, because Jose's doing a lot of contest prep stuff himself. But he is getting ready for his last Olympia. This is going to be Jose's last time competing. I think he'll be 44 in December. He has been a pro for over 10 years, maybe 12 years. He has always placed high in the Olympia. I think the lowest he ever placed was sixth, but he's usually in the top three or four. So he's given it everything he's got, and I got a chance to spot him a few exercises when he worked out on Thursday, and he was doing some posing for me, and man, it just looks unbelievable. Think you're getting big and you think you're in good shape until you stand next to a pro bodybuilder. He's just made me look like tiny. The thickness and the size on Jose, he's got to have 22-inch arms at a 5'3" frame. It's just amazing to see. So he's a great, great guy. I've known Jose many years. I met his brother Tito when I competed in the 1998 Olympia, the natural Olympia, I should say, out in Greece. And then I think I met Jose, it was either later that year or the next year. So he was really young. I think he was in his early 20s when I met him, because I've known him now for 20 years. Really genuine guy. If you ever have a chance to meet Jose Raymond, definitely go up to him and say hi, because he's one of those guys that's very approachable, very real person, very down to earth, very authentic. And we're going to miss him being a pro, but I think he's doing the right thing. He's going to have hip surgery in January because he's got a bad hip. And his brother Tito actually had both of his hips replaced in the last couple of years. So that's like a lot of hip injuries. That's probably a genetic thing. But Jose wants to go out on top, and I think he's going to look probably his best ever this year. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him at the Olympia. I'm hoping to go to the Olympia this year. I haven't gone since 2011. Old School Labs wants to send me out there. So if my schedule allows it, I'm definitely going to go, because I would love to see Jose as well as a lot of other people. I also got a chance to run into Dan Solomon from digitalmuscle.com. Dan is a big influence in the industry, and he's got his new movie Bigger coming out in October. I think it's like the first or second week in October. But he said that they're going to be having a premiere of Bigger, which is the Joe Weider biopic that Dan is the executive producer on. They're going to have a premiere of that at the Olympia in Vegas. So if I get a chance to go out there, I'll hopefully get a chance to see it. So I would love to see that movie ahead of time, but I'm definitely going to see it when it comes out if I don't get a chance to go to the Olympia. And I got a chance to see Peter McGough, my friend Peter McGough, who has been on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast several times. Peter's looking really, really good. He said this is the best he's felt in 5 years. You know, Peter's been battling cancer for a long time, but he never gives up. He's always just trying to stay alive so they can come up with a new treatment and another new treatment. And he said they're doing something new with him now, and he said he feels the best he's felt in 5 years. So got my fingers crossed. He's a great guy. Him and his wife are both great people. So I hope Peter gets through this. I think he will. And I also got to see Aaron Singerman, my friend Aaron Singerman. He's the CEO of Redcon One, one of our sponsors, and got to talk to him for a little bit. He recommended a book called, I think, 12 Rules for Living Your Life or something like that. And it's written by Jordan Peterson, who I heard interviewed on Joe Rogan's show, Joe Rogan's podcast. And he was a very, very interesting guest. And I think he's been on Joe Rogan a few times. So I just bought the book. I just started it. So I told Aaron that I was getting into that book. Aaron is a very intelligent guy, reads a lot of books and sees a lot of movies. So we always have a lot to talk about whenever I see him. And then, of course, again, I said I get to see Chris Aceto. So it was good to see Chris. And we had a big wrap up, which should be on rxmuscle.com as soon as you hear this show. So if you want to check that out, we wrapped up the men's classic physique. And then we also went over the men's bodybuilding 212 division. And we went over the men's open division. So in the classic physique, they had one of Chris's clients was the winner. His name is Henry Pierre Anos, I think. And he's from Montreal, from Canada. And what a great physique. Chris was showing me pictures of him on Thursday on his phone. And he had a super tiny waist, very wide shoulders. But when I saw him in person, I didn't realize how big Henry was. He's very tall. He's probably 6'2", 6'3". He towered over the lineup. And he looks much bigger in person than he did in the pictures. but he has that really small waist and very wide shoulders, and his legs are just sliced. They almost reminded me of like Samir Banoot's legs at the 1983 Mr. Olympia. Not the biggest legs. They weren't mass monster legs or tree trunks, but they were just perfectly aesthetic with really deep slices in them. It'll be interesting to see how Henry does at the Olympia, but he won this lineup pretty easily. But that classic physique division at the Olympia is going to be really, really tough. Of course, we got Breon Ansley, who is sponsored by Old School Labs. He's going to be going for his second win. And I think Breon's got a great chance because he's got a great physique, even though he's a shorter guy. But he's very thick, and he's a great poser, and he's just really dialed in. Every time he competes, he's very dialed in. So Breon's a great guy. I think he's got a great chance to defend his title, but he's going to have some really tough competition this year. Of course, Chris Bumstead, who was second last year, he's going to be going in it. A lot of people thought Chris should have won last year. Then you have Wesley Vissers, who is a new guy, who they're calling the new Arnold, and he's going to be going in it. And now you've got Henry going in it. So it's going to be really, really tough. Just to make that top six is going to be an incredible lineup. So a lot of people are looking forward to seeing the classic physique. That's really gaining a lot of popularity, and a lot of people are really loving this division. I am one of them. I can't wait to see that. And then in the 212 division, Nicholas Villeneuve, I think his name is, he's from Switzerland, and he was actually at the Powerhouse Gym where I trained. He was training there. We had a lot of athletes in all week. They were training at the Powerhouse Gym Athletic Club in Tampa where I trained. And Nicholas has got a real freaky physique, real short guy, but super, super big arms and big legs, just massive. And he just overwhelmed the lineup with his size. He's got kind of a weird structure, and me and Chris were talking about this in the wrap-up. He's got very short legs and a very long torso. So his back, I would say, is the weakest part of his body. That's his biggest weak point because his torso is so long and his arms are so big and short. So got a real freaky looking physique. I don't know how he's going to do with the Olympia, but he was an overwhelming victory here. And he's very, very popular, I think, on the internet. But the real contest for me was the men's open bodybuilding, which was yesterday on Saturday. And Sergio Oliva Jr., was a surprise last minute entry. And he went head to head with Alexis Rivera, who is from Puerto Rico. And Alexis is a really, really impressive physique. I think he's won several pro shows. I've seen him compete. I don't know if I've ever seen him compete, actually. I think I did see him compete once. Very thick, very massive, big guy, incredible leg development, and he always comes in great condition. AJ Sims, who helped me with my contest prep a couple years ago when I competed, AJ is helping Alexis, and he really dialed him in rock hard. In fact, I didn't see the prejudging, but I heard Alexis was even better at the night show than he was at the prejudging. But, man, was it a close battle, and both of these guys battled it out. That was one of the best pose downs I've seen on a bodybuilding stage in years. I mean, the crowd was so loud. It reminded me of the 80s and the 90s. It was so great to see. It was like the golden age of bodybuilding all over again. And Sergio has just got such a great personality on stage. He's so colorful. He's so magnetic. And Alexis wouldn't give up either. So both of these guys battled out, and at the night show last night, right before they did the pose down and announced the final placings, Steve Weinberger, the head judge, called up Sergio and Alexis, and he made those guys work. He was holding each pose. It looked like 30 seconds. Like even he called a front double bicep, he just didn't stop for 30 seconds. It was unbelievable. These guys worked, and the crowd was going insane. Alexis had a big cheering contingent from Puerto Rico there. So it was just so, so exciting. And I think Alexis beat him by 1 point. But Sergio now has enough points because he just took second place at the Chicago Pro Show a few weeks ago. I think that was over the 4th of July weekend. Sergio has enough points that he's going to go to the Olympia. So that's going to be very memorable because for you history buffs that remember, when his father, Sergio Oliva, came back into the IFBB in 1984, and he competed in New York, Sergio Jr. was just born, and his wife at the time, Arlene, handed Sergio his baby, and he held it up on stage when he went to the microphone to speak after he got his 8th place award. So when I met Sergio Jr. for the first time, it was probably about 10 years ago, I think it was at the Junior Nationals in Chicago when I was living out there, and I think I was working for Optum Nutrition at the time, and I was doing interviews with some of the athletes, and that was, I think, Sergio Oliva Jr.'s first Junior Nationals win. And this was before his father passed away because his father was there. And I got the chance to talk to him in the lobby, and I said, are you ever going to go on the Olympia stage? You think you'll ever get there again? And he goes, I already was on the Olympia stage when I was born, when he was a baby. So he was already there once, and now he's going to be there again. So many, like 10 years later, he's going to be back up there again after being on stage in 1984 as a baby. So this is going to be historic. I can't remember the last time we had a Mr. Olympia winner's son competing in the Mr. Olympia. I don't think it's ever happened. In fact, it has never happened now that I'm thinking back. So this is really, really going to be one for the history books. And I know Sergio's going to be very excited about doing it. He's a very emotional guy. He's got a lot of passion. And that's what makes him so fun to watch. And he's a great poser, too. He's got his own style, a lot of flair. So it's going to really make this Olympia very exciting to have him in the show. That was really a great pose down at that show last night. It really made my weekend. It was awesome. All right, another news. I'm still working on that Lee Labrada video interview, and it will be up this week. It is pretty much done, guys. So you're really going to enjoy it, where Lee talks about he started bodybuilding back in Texas. Actually, it was in Chicago, I think. Started as a youth. He started, he only weighed 135 pounds when he did his first show. And we go up all the way to when he won the Nationals in 1985 in the middleweight class. And then he went to the Universe, and he won the middleweight class at the Universe. And then he turned pro, and he competed in the Night of the Champions in 1986. And then his first two Mr. Olympia competitions in 1987. Really going to be awesome to see. So check that out. If you're not on my mailing list, then email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com or go to our website, which is bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And you can just click on our email list at the bottom of the page, and I will automatically add you to our list. And then when I send you the updates on what's happening each week on the bodybuildinglegendshow.com and also the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, then you will be able to get those updates. So check that out. That's going to be a really great interview. All right, I also want to mention we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. Do you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential? Then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. Our certified and knowledgeable staff will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. Our wide range of services ensure that you will not only look and feel amazing, but are also be comfortable knowing that they are there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida at 813-922-8939. Again, that's 813-922-8939. Or you can reach them at their website, which is flalternativemeds.com, flalternativemeds.com. And go on there, and they will give you a free consultation with 20% off your first order if you mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And also, guys, if you want to support our show, if you want to support the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, you can do so through Patreon, which is on our website link. So go to bodybuildinglegendshow.com and go to the upper right-hand corner. You'll see the Patreon link. Just click on that, and you can become a donor to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. If you want to contribute as little as $5 a month, it'll really help us keep the show going. And I have some things I will offer to you for being a Patreon or for being a donor of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And I really appreciate Scott Barron, who continues to support the show. If you guys want to do that, just go on our website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com. So I appreciate you thinking about it. All right, so here is our interview with Craig Munson, Big Craig Munson. This is part two of our interview where Craig talks about when he started competing in the bodybuilding world. You're really going to love it. Here you go. Were people freaking out about you, Craig, when you were training in the 80s at Gold's Gym? I mean, were people just like, wow, who the hell is this guy?
Look, at Venice Beach, and I know people out there have videos because they would, when I would start working out, I would wait for the crowd to get good before I start doing my thing. Right. They would be from the fence at Venice all the way back to the restaurant, the building there. All the way back. All the way back to the office. Okay? Pack them in. They were packed in watching me. Okay?
Yeah.
And then I would take pictures holding babies and everything. Right. I took pictures back in the day.
You're like the star.
Yes. Yes. It was fantastic. Okay? Venice on the weekend, Venice Beach was mine. I was Well, it was all these attractions out there. You know, you walked the, you would walk the pier, and there was all kind of stuff going on. Even now today, there's all kind of stuff going on, all kind of.
Yeah.
But there's nobody in the pitch playing around with 500. Okay,
right,
it's not Carmen 300, and then working out like that with no shirt on.
Right.
The big guys, no, they say, Big Craig, you're supposed to stay in the gym. You ain't supposed to show off out here like that. They wouldn't come out, the pros, you know? No, no. They would come, they stand outside the pit and watch. No, come on in here. Play with us, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, no.
But I saw a picture of you and Arnold out there on Venice Beach. I was looking at
Arnold and I, we did benches and inclines a couple of times out there.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, and I think that was Ken Waller with him. Was Arnold
still competing then, or was he retired?
Yes, well, he may have been semi-retired.
Yeah.
I'm talking...
late 70s or something?
Yeah, 79.
Early 80s.
Yes. And he would come in the morning, okay, and I would always go early to get a good parking. And then I would carve up waiting on my guys to get there, okay, because I had a team that would show up. Danny Trejo, the movie star, he would always
come. Yeah, I saw a picture of you with him,
And look, Danny, he wasn't a movie star back then. You know, Danny came to my apartment and picked me up in 1977 to go and join special typecasting for the movies. Danny and I joined the same special typecasting back in the day, okay, way back when. And then Danny used to bring his kids in the little red wagon. He says, because Danny lived right down the street. And he would pull, he said, Big Craig, I got to go take care of some business. Can you watch them for me? And he'd leave the kids in the red wagon. Yeah. I said, park them right there in the sand, right? and I have to babysit the kids. Now, this is before Danny became famous. Okay?
Yes.
And we're still friends right now today. Yes, we're still friends.
Did you ever get any movie roles with that casting?
I was on Arnold's special typecasting on his calling list. Okay, they called me for this, called me for that. I go in, they say, shit, man, you're too big.
You're going to make your arm look small.
they say, we're going to have to put too much, we're going to have to cover you up too much. Yes, a couple of times.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to have to cover you up. I'm like, what's the use of having all these yokes that I can't show them, you know?
Right,
no,
exactly.
So I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back to the cast calling.
Now, when did you start competing, Craig?
Okay, I did a novelist show. I want to say 79. I did a novelist show out in Oceanside, and I did the Mr. L.A. 79. That's when Roy Liedermeyer won.
Okay? Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm backstage with Liedermeyer and my workout partner, Big Aaron Jones. Aaron stood 6'5". Big boy, big boy.
Yeah.
And the prejudging is in the morning.
Yeah.
And now this is at the same auditorium where I saw Frank Zane win.
Okay.
So it's like, this is me coming to full term, you know?
Yeah.
Here I am going to stand on the stage while I watch the boys, my first show. Okay. Backstage, we're pumping up. And I had dieted to get cut up and all that, but I got small. Remember, I'm natural. I was all natural. And
really?
I'm going up against these. Yes, I was. I didn't see any drugs, steroids, until 82, okay? At least 1982. So, anyhow, I'm backstage, and I'm like, these guys are full, and I'm depleted. Back then, we had a pre-digested protein you could buy in Rouse Market. You remember, with the little red strawberries on it, the red cherries?
Right.
Mm. And that stuff cut you up. But if they say it was eating the lining out of his stomach, so they took it off the market, took it off the shelf.
Right.
But I used to drink that with my tuna, packed in spring water, and eat a lot of strawberries all the time. This is how they were telling me to cut up. And pineapple, strawberries, pre-digested protein. And I would open a couple of cans of tuna packed in spring water.
Mm-hmm.
I would pour the water off, put the tuna in the blender, put a half a cup of warm water in the blender, squeeze some lemon juice, and blend it so I could drink it. Okay, I'd have to hold my nose to get it down. I would do that a couple of times a day. That was my meal. Okay? Mm. But I got cut. My muscles look good.
Right.
But at the Mr. Los Angeles, when I'm backstage with Roy Liedermeyer, and I asked, man, how you guys stay so big? And Liedermeyer asked me, this is my first time ever meeting him. He said, well, big man, when you changed your cycle, what did you change? What did you use to get cut? I said, my cycle. See, I'm not understanding the lingo, right? I'm like, well, you know, I'm doing the tuna and I'm doing this, the pre-digester. I'm telling you what I'm doing. He said, no, what did you change? What drugs did you change? I don't know no drugs. I'm not taking no drugs. Right. He said, you look like that and you ain't taking no drugs. Well, see, look, I had 20 years on them training, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them, when I met John Brown, and Tony Pearson. Okay. I met them at Venice Beach 1 year. We'll say I met them in 79.
Okay.
And they were just teenagers, kids like.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I come back and I knew John Brown because he had this long neck. Okay. And then the next year, these guys come back and they all buffed up. Mm-hmm. And I've been training all my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
How did this, what's going on?
And I'm telling Donnie, boy, hey, Donnie, you remember that guy over there with the long neck? He said, yeah, that's John Brown. I said, what? Look how he changed. How did he get so big in 1 year?
Yeah.
From one summer to the next. Okay. Right. Tony Pearson, too. Because they were just youngsters sitting in the bleachers watching us in the pit.
Right.
Okay. So I'm like, And see, Donnie and I had made a pact that we would never do any steroids.
Okay.
Up to this point, I had never done no steroids. Didn't even know where to get them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The same with the underground drugs, cocaine and all. I had never seen no cocaine till I was 34 years old. Okay. But the public would have had me on it. I've seen it or something. Never saw it. Never.
Yeah.
Up to this day, I'm 67 years old. Up to this day, I've never seen no heroin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever seen it.
Right.
Okay. Now, in the way that I got involved with steroids, I started training at Iron Man's gym. It was on Adams and Hill, downtown L.A. I was in a transformation looking for a good gym.
Okay.
So this gym was upstairs, and a guy named Julio from Belize, he would work at the counter, okay? When you come in, Julio's sitting at the desk, all right? And he had befriended me. And when I'd come in, well, you know, I'm the big man in the gym. I'd come in and I have to go dress out because I'm driving from Hollywood. I'm doing hair. I'm a hairstylist. I'm doing hair in Hollywood. I got to drive all the way down to downtown to go to the gym. When I get there, Julio says, here, Big Craig, here's your vitamins. He tear open those little packages you used to buy at 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. He tear open a package of vitamins, give me a protein drink, and he would add 2 or 3 pills to it. I think I saw him, but I saw him.
Yeah.
He was giving me a couple of blue ones and a little white one.
Okay.
Well, come to find out, he was giving me 3 Diana balls and a Anadrol 50.
Ooh,
okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in the bench press was in the back of the gym. They had a mirror up on the ceiling, and the ceilings were low, where you could watch your chest work. And then as you raised up off the bench, the mirror's right in front of you, and you could see yourself there.
Yeah.
Well, I got 2 workout partners. This is where I meet Big Will, the guy who ended up holding my legs down for the 300-pound back arm. So we here, and 400. I hit 400 a couple of good times, real good, easy. I said, man, give me another quarter. Make it 450 the next set, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't give me a quarter. They give me a plate, okay? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't, you know, I'm all keyed up. I'm not paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. And at this gym, I could get the weight myself. And I started repping it, and I repped that sucker 10 times. First time in my life doing 500, and I rep it 10 times. And
holy
they just laughing. And I'm like, what y'all laughing about? They said, Big Craig, look what you got on there. And I look in the mirror, and I got 545 on each side.
Jeez.
But then when I look at myself in the mirror, I have a vein in my forehead coming from under my hairline all the way down to my bra, my eyebrow, as big as my baby finger.
Wow.
What the heck is that? And I'm rubbing and massaging it. It's this big old vein in my forehead. And I'm massaging it, and it's going down. And I, Julio.
What are you giving me?
Because what is it, Munson? Munson, what is it, Munson? What are you giving me? He said, what happened? I said, I just bench pressed 500 pounds for 10 reps. He said, Munson, let me talk to you. And he told me what he was giving. And wanted me to go with him to his next doctor's appointment at Cedars-Sinai, where he was seeing Walter J. Cox.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that name, right?
Yep.
Yeah, J. Cox and another one. It was two sports doctors back then.
Yeah, I do remember those.
Anyhow, I go with him for his next consultation because he thought the doctor was just taking his money because it wasn't working for him, okay? I go in and I sit in the examining room and Julio's telling J. Cox that, you know, this is not working for me. And because he was sending twice a week, and I was padding up in the front. He says, and my friend here, he only take a couple of pills. And Walter said, he looked over at me. He said, how much you weigh now? I said, oh, about 255. He said, I could take you to 300. I said, what? And look, he quit talking to Julio, direct his stuff to me. Julio get pissed. He get pissed because this is, you know, he's saying to see the doctor.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Well, after Julio got his prescription, though, J. Cox said, I need to talk with you. So I go into his office. He gave me a deal I couldn't refuse. I'm going to use you as my publicity. You be my foot soldier. And I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm like, what you mean? He said, I'm going to take you to 300 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got so powerful and so big. That was Dr. Jekyll. Dr. Jekyll, he was Frankenstein. Dr. Frankenstein.
Right.
But in that lobby, when I would go to see him in the waiting room, all the top 10 bodybuilders would be sitting there. And I'm not going to call names, but they would all be sitting. It was like a reunion every week when I would go.
Right.
And look, and he had two bodybuilders working behind the desk in the lab with him, and two girls, and everybody had on this white smocks, you know, the medical jackets, and the guys had 20-inch arms. They were huge, you know. But when you go in there, you know you're in good hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know you're in good hands. And they
what year was this,
blood
right?
work. This was in 82, 83.
82, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then I went to Mr. World, right?
All right.
And created havoc over there. Big John Brown, he was already established over there, right?
Is this in Europe?
In Europe,
this
Europe. Yes.
Okay.
This is in Geneva, Switzerland.
Okay.
I go for the amateur world. John Brown is going for the pro world.
All right.
Okay. We all in the same hotel together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, this is my first time in Europe, my first big show.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm going, I went because a man named Paco Arce, he was on the WABA NABA committee. WABA and NABA had merged to make a stronger alliance, to make a stronger bodybuilding show. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So they had merged. And Paco Arce was he had something to do with it. He was the vice president of Elizabeth Norton Cosmetics.
Okay.
When he saw me at Venice Beach one Sunday, he said, man, the world got to see you. He sent me an itinerary of where I was going to go to compete in this Mr. World show. I'm like, man, I have to qualify. He said, nope, you qualified already. I see you qualified. Okay? Serge Nubre was Serge Nubre's godfather. Okay?
Yeah.
So when we're in the hotel, I'm skipping, make it faster. We're in the hotel, and I'm telling Big John Brown, man, I am so nervous. I got butterflies and da-da-da. John Brown said, what? He stopped the elevator in between floors, okay? The right. Elevator have a wraparound mirror all the way around, except when where the doors open, okay? Uh-huh. He said, Big Craig, take off that jacket. He said, let me see what you look like. I take off my jacket. John Brown said, now look, and he took off his jacket. We in the elevator. Right. He said, Big Craig, you going in the amateurs. I'm going in the pros. Look how you make me look. That's John Brown's words, okay?
Right, right.
He said, look how you make me look. Now, I made him look small.
Yeah.
John Brown weighed maybe 215. I yeah. went into the, at that show, I weighed 272, okay?
Damn, 272.
I was a big boy, okay?
Yeah.
Now, everybody, even in the pros, Kowak, he won that night, the Kowak.
Okay.
Cowett was about 225, 230. When I walked out on the stage was hardwood floors, and they had 2,800 people in the Poly Expo. That's like the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
It's packed.
Mm-hmm.
But I walked hard enough where you could hear my footsteps on the hardwood floor. Okay, I started posing, doing my... I brought that audience, I drove them nuts, okay?
Yeah.
Then they gave me fifth place.
Okay.
And then all the fifths, fourths, all the way down to first place. And
right.
the guy who they gave first place to, he and I shared the same hotel room, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I had flipped him already in the hotel. we pulled yeah, down right. in the hotel, and I shut him down. Okay?
Yeah.
He was like, man, I'm not going to stand next to you. But I said, yes, you are, because we both tall. Okay? We
right.
both were tall.
Right.
But I made him look bad. I was too big.
Right.
I was just a monster. But he won. They gave him first place.
Right.
So the crowd didn't like that. The crowd started booing and stomping their feet in unison. Okay?
Wow.
And
really?
Standing. Now, we're in Switzerland, and they started chat my name, it was rhythmic. And
yeah.
I jumped off that platform because the top five is on a platform. I jumped off the platform onto the stage and started posing. I walked to the edge of the stage and I did a most muscular and I growled. And I did it. They said they could feel my breath four rows back. I growled and I posed.
Look, yeah. look.
Then the judges says they revoted and gave me first place, people's choice.
They revoted. The judges revoted.
Yeah, they revoted. Yeah. Gave me first place, people's choice, fifth place, judges' choice. They went over to the guy who they gave the first place trophy to, who I shared the hotel. They took the trophy back from him and gave it to me.
Damn,
gave me the trophy, gave me a fifth place trophy, and gave me a box of candy. Okay? look, it was so crazy. It was like
crazy.
A business.
Yeah.
I had to go out in the lobby, and it's like at the Frank Zane and Leroy
yeah.
Cobler thing.
Right.
Selling your pictures. I sold all right. my pictures.
Okay? Wow,
I sold
yeah.
everything I took.
You're the crowd favorite, yeah.
Yeah, and then one kid, he took my feet, and he raised my foot up like a horse, stood behind
mm-hmm.
it, and he wiped my feet with my towel and put my feet in. I had these like ballet slippers, and
mm-hmm.
put my feet in my slippers and had me endorse the towel to him.
Wow.
This kid kept my towel,
but
I didn't have no more pictures to sell.
Right.
You
yeah,
understand?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. I made so much cash, and I was putting it in my pockets. Okay, I was unorganized. The cash
yeah.
was falling out of my pockets. The fans were picking up my money, giving it to me, back to
yeah.
me. The maintenance people for the Pally Expo, for the center,
mm-hmm.
started blinking the lights on and off, telling us it's time to go.
Right.
The fans wouldn't let me out of there. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't. And Big John Brown was standing with me. He's cracking. He's having a ball. He's enjoying the excitement with me.
Right.
He's telling me, Craig, you got it. You turn them out, Craig. You turn them out. Craig must have come to Switzerland and turn them out. Okay. They're blinking the lights off and on. It's time to go. It's time to go. Mm. I have a multitude of people. I can't go. We can't get out of here.
Yeah.
When we finally get outside to the parking lot, they have about 10 to 15 chartered buses with all these kids on it. You know, they came to see the show on the buses. They hanging out the windows and they chanting my name. You know, there was no better feeling than this, okay?
Oh, yeah. That would be one of the highlights of your life.
Yeah. But when I tell the story, I remember it so vividly, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I had people come to the hotel room who wanted me to go to Germany and open a gym with them, sponsor this, sponsor that. They went crazy over it, you know? But Paco had already set up an itinerary from Geneva, Switzerland. I had to go to Madrid, Spain. And from Spain, I had to go to North Africa, okay? All this was already planned and paid for, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah, so he had it all set up.
He had it all set up. And look, because he had already wanted to show me off to the world, okay?
Yeah.
And this man took me places. Boy, I tell you, when I was in the Canary Islands, he took me to North Africa, Canary Islands.
Okay.
They have no duty where you have to pay the taxes on stuff duty-free. So I had bought up all these gifts to take to the family and friends, and okay?
And
I had bought another suitcase. And when zipping it up, the zipper broke on the suitcase. So Paco had assigned me two bodyguards to be with me because this is North Africa and it's most of the Spaniards are there for their holiday or what.
Yeah.
But you have Spanish people, blue-eyed, blonde hair, okay? Not like the Spanish Mexicans here in America, no. These are Castilian Spanish. Anyhow, so I kind of snuck away from the bodyguards. We were in a restaurant. I told them I was going to the bathroom, and I went out the back door. I didn't want them hanging around me, okay? Didn't need no bodyguard. I want to walk by myself.
Right.
I'm 272. I'm a giant, okay?
Right.
And
then
I started carving up. So, you know, after a show and you start eating, you swell up. You blow up real big.
Right.
So I have this suitcase. And I have to go find somebody to sew it, like a shoe store, a cobbler, somebody to fit the zipper. And I'm walking down, like downtown, with short pants on, with no shirt. And I'm swole. It's like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I kid you not. It's like time had stopped but me.
Right.
Everybody stopped and stared. It was, you know, and I'm walking and smiling. Next thing I know, now we're in North Africa. People start coming out of their shop, the shopkeepers, with honeydew melons and lemonade, and come. And they giving me soft drinks because it's hot. It's just really blazing and humid. And I'm saying, I'm trying to fix this. Do you know where? And they're very helpful. Two girls walked with me, took me right to a cobbler, okay, went in. He's, oh, yes, they fixed it while I stood there and ate watermelon and honeydew melon. yes. With those, and I took pictures with people. It was crazy. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, man. So,
one of the first times I ever heard about you, Craig, was when you went in the 1984 AAU Mr. America, because I was living in Chicago at that time, and there was a lot of guys from Chicago that went in that show. And I remember a couple of them came back, and they go, man, this guy that should have won the whole show, big dude, Craig Munson was his name. And I'm like, I never heard of him. And then when I saw the pictures, I was like, wow.
So, now look, that show there, okay, Walter Jacox, that was my sports doctor, right?
Right.
The prejudging was in the morning. The show was in Pasadena. Walter Jacox come backstage. He said, Big Craig, now he's a judge on the platform. He said, Big Craig, I got bad news. I said, what do you mean? He says, you're not going to win this. Who's here to beat me? You know? I don't, who's going to beat me? He says, look, you got a lot of kids, a lot of guys from back east.
Yeah. And
they brought judges from back east. We got more judges from back east than we do here.
Right.
He said, so you're not going to win. I said, that's bull. Well, I didn't win. Okay.
Yeah, you got second or something.
Yeah, the guy who won, I came in second. His name was Arthur Prince.
Okay. Yep.
Arthur Prince won. But that after the show, I'm in the lobby with my entourage leaving, the people who had brought me and my trophy, and Arthur sitting across the lobby. Now, backstage, while we were getting ready for the go out, you know, I stood beside him and sized him up. See, I got that from Arnold's movie, Pumping Iron.
Okay? Right.
Remember how he did the guys backstage?
Yeah. Well,
I brainwashed him. I got him backstage. I defeated him already backstage.
Right.
Went stood beside him and hit a couple of shots. He said, man, I ain't standing beside you. And he walked on, don't you know, on the stage when it was time for the pose down, I walked over to him. He walked away from me. he didn't want to stand beside me because I had already compared with him backstage, you know?
Right.
Anyhow, in the lobby, a man came up to me and he stood right in front of me. I was sitting down. He stood in front of me and he put both of his hands on each side of my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
One hand on this side, one hand on the other side. And I had to look up to him. I'm sitting down. And he's an older gentleman. He said, this was a forest tonight. Said, you could have won the Olympia.
Wow, and I really?
I said, well, thank you, sir, thank you. And he said, yes, bad. He said, this was your show. I said, thank you. And then he patted me and then he walked away. He had three or four guys with him. And then I looked around, who was that man? Who was that? You know? And another white guy said, Craig, you don't know who that was? I said, no. He said, that was John Grimmick.
Oh, wow, okay? Really? Yeah.
Yes. And I said, John Grimmick? And see, I didn't know. He said, like you just said, man, that was the first Mr. Universe, Mr. World or something.
Mr. America.
Like, really? Yes. He said, man, coming from him, that says a lot.
I said,
John Grimmick, huh? And so haven't seen nothing or heard nothing from him since, but I had to remember that name, you know?
Yeah.
By him saying that to me, it meant something. So
yeah.
it took the hurt out of it, you know?
Right.
Yes, the crowd booed, they booed and booed, but they did like, see, in Europe, the people would not settle down.
Mm-hmm.
On my video, because I do have a video of that show, and the people said, hey, wait a minute. They gave me a second. Then
right.
They started booing. But, you know, Americans, we take stuff. We take a butt whooping, you know? So
The
Americans settled down,
mm-hmm.
and they took it, okay?
Yeah. You met Sergio Oliva, too, right? He was like,
I had Sergio's phone number. Look,
oh, really?
I had Sergio's number. I could call him and pick his brain. I went to a show. I did a show the night of the Bodybuilders, night of the Glad something. It was mm-hmm. in La Quinlada, L.A., California.
Mm-hmm.
I did that show just because Sergio Oliva was guest posting.
Okay.
And the posters were up in the gym. Sergio is going to be guest posting. I'm like, shoot, I'm going to that show. I'm competing that, you know?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be on the same stage as Oliva because he was my idol. Okay?
Yeah.
And so, Serge came and he was pulling. When he came, they brought him in a limousine and he was pulling his luggage on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Swole and I was, you know, this was my idol. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we were standing outside of the auditorium. He was a big Serge comp, you know. But he looked kind of down, you know. Something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't at his best.
Yeah.
Well, come to find out later, he told me that he had just got over pneumonia. Okay. He wasn't feeling his best and all. And I'm like, you're not feeling your... I said, oh, okay. And da-da-da-da-da-da. But see, I had met him one time before, but it was just a meeting, you know,
mm-hmm.
at a show. And we talked.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time I'm in the stage with your Serge, and so backstage we're pumping up, and I had on a robe like the Grim Reaper that drug the ground with a hoodie. You know what I mean? And it was made out of that terry cloth, big, thick rope. And men started doing push-ups. I'm push-upping with my idol. Okay, we're backstage pumping up together. And he says, okay, let me see what you look like. Now, I don't know if you ever met Serge. You know, he was a Cuban, so he spoke differently.
And
I've always been attracted to the Latin community, okay? He says, oh, let me see what you look like, Big Craig. And so I peeled that bro. He says, oh, you're going to kill him tonight. He said, oh, you're going to kill him tonight. Just like that. And I did it. Okay? To tell the truth, I look better than Serge. Because Serge had lost weight because of the pneumonia. And he just came to get his $3,000, okay? Came to get his money, but he had no veins showing. He was so smooth, okay? And I have that picture on my Flickr account. He had one that Serge is posing with the blue trunks on. He and I are in that same, I'm in that same show with him. And whoever, this people came with him when he was doing his back shot, and the back didn't jump out. Nothing happened. Okay, and I'm standing there peeking behind the curtains, and my heart is dying for Big Serge, you know? And then I do speak a little Spanish, and the audience was saying, dale, 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 telling him to move. Okay, wasn't nothing happening, move, you know, dale, 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 you know? And, yeah, certain things just stand out in my mindset from back in the day. But Sergio was great. I went to three different things to see him. And I gave him a picture that he and I had took together, and I signed it and framed it. And I gave him one of them AC Ducey hats that he loved to wear. He always wore those caps, you know. I presented him with an AC Ducey cap, and he gave me his number that night. And so I was able to call him and pick his brain on. And he's the one who told me about them Superman curls, okay? A 5, 10, 15, 20. You take a bar and you load it up on dimes. And the first set, it's real, real heavy. And you only can do 5 reps. And then you pull a dime. And then you do 10 reps. Then you pull another dime. Then you do 20 reps. Then you pull another dime. Okay? And then you flip it over and do reverse curls. Okay, you do 5, 10. Now you do reverse curl 15 times. Okay? And then you pull another dime. Then you flip your hand back over and you go close grip, okay? Close as you could go, and you do it 20 times. That's 5, 10, 15, 20, okay? Big Serge told me to do that one. Yes. And look, you try to do that for 4 sets, okay? And you can't let them, you cannot set the bar down. Okay? You got to hold that bar till the set is complete. And I mean, people go to their knees, me and my we go to our knees, but you got to hang on to the bar. Breathe, go to your knees, breathe, breathe, breathe. Stand back up, finish it off. Yes.
So you do regular barbell curls, then reverse curls, and then close grip barbell curls.
And that's right. Okay. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And the weight, the first set, it had to be heavy enough where all you could do is 5 reps. Okay?
Right. Then you pull a 10 off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've had some good time with the weights, man. You know. Yes, look, John, by you working out, you already know, okay?
Yeah.
It's a part of our life. It's embedded in us.
Right.
When we can't train, okay, like I should be in the gym, but I'm sitting here talking with you, okay? I should be in the gym, yes, because this is my time. But it's okay because it's been so hot here. I'm afraid to get out in the heat. Like I said, I can't drive the Jeep, so I have to take the caddy with the air conditioner and all that. But it burns the gas, you know.
And then
I'm getting up in age, so I have a 78 anniversary Corvette all souped up. And it hasn't been driven for 6 months. I just restored it, and I'm about to sell it because I can't drive it, you know.
Yeah.
It'll get up. My reflexes are not fast enough. You know what I mean?
It can
get away from me. Yes. It's a muscle car. I enjoyed it when I was young, you know? And I've had it for 20 years, I guess, or better. But I can't drive it anymore.
Okay.
It's not fun getting older. As long as we could grow older gracefully, you know? If we could do it gracefully.
Yes.
But you know, along with all that heavy weight that I used to do, along with all my steps and all, 500 pound, 500 and something pound bench press, 300 pound back arms, leg press up to 1600 pounds on the sled, laying back, with two guys sitting up on top of it. Well, what goes along with that is arthritis in the knees, arthritis in the tailbone. Nobody never told me that maximum poundage, they always said maximum poundage build mass that will last, They didn't tell me maximum poundage is going to get you in the long run.
right.
John, you know already.
Yeah.
That arthritis going to get you,
Yep.
Arthritis, man. And the warmer climates do help the muscles, or the body. But then we can't stand the heat. You know, the body needs it, but the blood pressure don't. No, when it's real hot, I'm lubricated. I feel good, But I get a little dizzy, And I don't want to be walking side to side. And, Big Arnold said, you got to stand straight up. You don't like to see you leaning over. So when you're carrying all that heavy weight, Father Time pull you down,
Yes. Well, Craig, I appreciate your time talking to us, and you had some great stories, and you were really a fantastic bodybuilder, so it was great hearing all your stories. I'm glad you had the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed reminiscing. And like you say, I was up under the radar for a long time, but those who saw me, they witnessed what I was doing. Big Bill Pettis out in the beach back in the 70s.
Yeah,
that was a great man. He and I would stand in front of each other with 200 some odd pound bar, curling back and forth. I'd do 10, give it back to him. He'd do 10. He'd hand it back to me. I'd do 9, 200 some pounds.
Jeez,
he was the only one that could stand with me.
Yeah.
With Big Bill Pettis.
Right.
He would stand up. I'd do 300 some, 315 laying down. He could stand up like he's going in the pit. They had the rackets like you could almost squat, use it as a squat rack. He would get up under it, put the weight on his shoulders, and then start back arming. He didn't go up to three plates, but he was pretty close to it.
Wow. Yeah, I heard about him.
Massive, massive, and just a humble and nicest guy. I watched him go down. It really hurt my heart to watch him not grow old gracefully,
Yeah.
But like you said, I've enjoyed talking with you, sir.
All right,
my
Craig.
Pleasure.
It was my pleasure, too. Thanks for taking the time. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. And also thanks to Big Craig Munson for joining us for this interview. It was very, very interesting. All right, next week we should be joined by Chris Aceto himself. I talked to Chris last weekend, and he said he will join me to talk about his memories of old school bodybuilding. So keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll have Chris on next week on the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week. Take care.